From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, March 30th, 2017. And on this day, Governor Paula Page says Maine's noncompliance with the Federal Real ID Act is making it hard for veterans to get some VA services, but there's more to it. And Governor LePage has pardoned a husky that's been ordered euthanized, but it's not clear what that pardon means. We'll have those stories and non-Governor LePage-related stories in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Maine is still not compliant with the federal Real ID law, and Governor Paula Page isn't happy with the legislature or the Secretary of State about that. LePage says the noncompliance is preventing veterans in southern Maine from accessing some VA services. But as Steve Missler reports, the governor plans to veto a bill that would ensure veterans access to health care, while another bill that brings Maine into compliance with Real ID could land on his desk as early as next week.
Speaking on Portland radio station WGAN, LePage said he's concerned that Maine's noncompliance with the so-called Real ID law is preventing roughly 500 veterans in the southern part of the state from accessing VA facilities in New Hampshire.
Unfortunately, the Secretary of State and the legislature aren't moving fast enough to solve the Real ID problem.
But as it turns out, a bill that would specifically address veteran access to New Hampshire VA facilities was sent to the governor 8 days ago. It would allow veterans to obtain federal passport cards, which could then be used to enter the New Hampshire facilities until Maine comes into full compliance with Real ID. That's the federal law that sets standards for sources of identification, such as driver's licenses. The proposal is sponsored by Lewiston Democratic Representative Jared Golden. Golden is the assistant majority leader and a Marine Corps veteran who served combat tours in Afghanistan and Iraq.
I think my initial reaction was, the governor must not know that my bill is sitting on his desk waiting for him to sign it into law.
But Thursday afternoon, LePage released a statement saying he planned to veto Golden's bill. He said he agreed with the sentiment of helping veterans seeking medical care, but that the legislature shouldn't provide case-by-case carve-outs for those affected by Real ID. The governor then urged the legislature to quickly pass the bill that will bring Maine into full compliance. And that's what the legislature is poised to do. Democratic Senator Bill Diamond of Windham is the sponsor of the bill. Diamond said he's hoping it will pass with supermajority support and as an emergency measure. If that happens, the governor's latest dust-up with the legislature will go away. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
During the first of what's expected to be many public hearings over the next several months today, members of the Senate Intelligence Committee heard from experts on past Russian efforts to influence elections around the world. Those efforts have extra significance now as Congress tries to get to the bottom of the Russian interference during our last election without drifting into a partisan squabble. Mal Leary has our story.
Both of Maine's senators serve on the Intelligence Committee that plans to hold both public hearings and closed sessions to investigate Russian efforts to influence not only American elections, but elections around the world. Senator Angus King, an independent, says history is full of examples of Russian efforts to influence policies of other governments.
What we saw in the 2016 election is absolutely consistent with prior Russian practice and current Russian practice in other parts of Europe and the world.
King says there have been active efforts using social media and traditional media to directly influence elections in many European countries that were once part of the old Soviet Union or were part of the Warsaw Pact nations controlled by the Soviet Union. Senator Susan Collins, a Republican, says a Russian television network, Russia Today, seen on many cable and satellite systems in the United States, has been used to influence political activities in the U.S.
Russia Today, which most people view as an organ of the Russian government, was instrumental in trying to advance the protests of Occupy Wall Street.
Collins says it's clear the Russians will seek to exploit both the right and the left to advance their goals. She says part of what the committee needs to explore is defenses against the pervasive use of media to support or oppose a movement or a campaign. Senator King agrees and spoke to the need for greater defenses against Russian efforts in the future on MSNBC.
They're going to do it again here. They're going to be back in 2018, 2020, 2024. So a big part of what we're doing is how do we prepare ourselves and defend ourselves.
And King says in private discussions, the members of the Senate Intelligence Committee have vowed to conduct the probe in a nonpartisan way and avoid the problems plaguing the House Intelligence Committee, where Democrats are demanding the Republican chair of the committee step down after it was revealed he discussed the probe with Trump administration officials.
I don't want to pretend that there aren't going to be some conflicts. This is a difficult issue and has partisan overtones. But I think most of our members realize it's too important to fall into that.
Collins says members of the Senate Intelligence Committee have discussed the need to make sure their probe stays nonpartisan. She says the House operates differently than the Senate and is more partisan.
I also think it's simply easier in a body of just 100 people for us to get to know one another and to work together.
Both senators agree the committee's proceedings should be open as possible. They say some meetings must be done in closed session to protect intelligence sources and methods. But without significant openness, they worry their report could face questions of both thoroughness and fairness. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Governor LePage has pardoned a dog. The unusual move, which is now generating headlines around the country, was taken on behalf of a husky called Dakota with a violent past. Dakota's owners have been ordered to euthanize her, and as Susan Sharon reports, it's unclear whether the governor's action will spare her life.
Dakota's troubles began last year when she got loose and allegedly killed a small dog in Waterville. She then got tagged as a dangerous dog and was ordered to be properly confined. But according to Kennebec County District Attorney Megan Maloney, Dakota, shall we say, strayed and terrified the same homeowners a second time.
He broke free, went directly to the victim's home, and attacked their brand new dog. So they went through this twice with Dakota.
Dakota's owner then gave her away, but she wouldn't stay put. She got picked up and sent to the Waterville shelter, where Director Lisa Smith says she was a model resident.
And we found her to be very well-behaved. She was friendly with staff, easygoing, friendly with other dogs.
Earlier this month, Dakota was placed in a new home where her owners changed her name. But she still faced a court date over her past. And at that hearing last week, a judge ordered the new owners to have the dog destroyed. Enter Governor LePage. I have reviewed the facts of this case, and I believe the dog ought to be provided a full and free pardon, he said in a written statement.
I've never heard of such a thing before.
Lisa Smith says she and others at the shelter appreciate the governor's intervention. District Attorney Megan Maloney isn't quite sure what it actually means. Ultimately, she says, it's something the court will have to decide.
I have not ever handled a case where a dog has been pardoned before, so this is my first experience with it. I am looking at the Maine Constitution. Section 11 addresses the power to pardon directly, and that's what we'll be discussing in relation to this issue at the hearing.
The hearing is scheduled for Friday morning. Maloney says if LePage knew the traumatic effect Dakota's actions had on the victims in the case, he might have come to a different conclusion. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Finally today, time is running out for nearly 36 popular garden plants in Maine. It's not because another snowstorm is on the way, although one is. It's because the state of Maine has been warning homeowners about invasive species for several years, and as Jennifer Mitchell reports, after next year, they will no longer be allowed for sale or planting.
The list covers popular tree types such as the Crimson King and the Royal Red Maple.
People want that particular maple. That's the one with the red leaves. It's red all year round. They like it because of that color. It's different.
But, says Melissa Higgins, a garden expert at Sprague's Nursery in Bangor, this is the last year those kinds of trees, both varieties of Norway maple, will be available. Starting next year, they will be banned along with 32 other plants and trees. Higgins says she wasn't surprised to see purple loosestrife on the list, but a few species on the list were unexpected.
I was surprised about privet because it doesn't really grow that well up here anyway. I mean, it does grow here.
Maybe in the southern part of the state better?
Yeah, probably more Portland area, so I don't typically think of it up here. The yellow iris, I was surprised about that.
A popular and pretty garden flower. According to the State Department of Agriculture, Conservation and Forestry, the yellow iris has been found colonizing Maine's marshland. And Higgins says one of the biggest disappointments for her customers will likely be the loss of the showy red Euonymus alatus, commonly known as burning bush, selected for its hardiness and brilliant red fall foliage. So what's the problem with the plants identified on the list? Maine naturalist Bob Bittenbender has been waging war on invasive species for years. He says each one just doesn't fit well into the landscape as we know it. Take the very popular Norway maple, the first type of which was introduced in North America way back in the 1790s.
But it is so aggressive as a grower, it is so heavy as a plant, that it stops sunlight from getting down. Its roots are shallow and so dense it forces other plants out. But the really main problem with it is reducing the amount of usable habitat for our native species.
For example, Bittenbender says certain insects won't eat its leaves, and that means fewer insect meals for native birds. State regulators are the first to admit that the end goal surrounding non-native species is unclear, and the process is not perfect. To remove all species that are non-native would mean yanking out about a third of all the plants in Maine, as well as banishing some animals we've come to love, such as honeybees and the gardener's best friend, the common earthworm, both of which were brought here from Europe. Rather than trying to put things back the way they were at the end of the last ice age, state horticulturalist Gary Fish says the idea is to predict what species might have a lasting and negative impact on the systems that are working well together at the moment.
It's really tough to make these decisions, but there are certain plants, and we've had a very broad group of professionals that have looked at these plants to see if they're ones that really are going to cause ecological problems. And we've narrowed it down to the 33 plants that we think are those ones that will cause problems in Maine or are already causing problems in Maine.
So back to the Norway maple. Nothing grows particularly well under it. Even grass can be reluctant to take root. And because it's an aggressive, fast grower, it has a tendency to push out Maine's prized sugar maples, upon which the state's maple syrup industry relies. And when it's young, it's almost indistinguishable from other maple species, making identification and eradication complicated. For those reasons, it's on the list. But it's still very popular. That means that nurseries like Sprague's and Bangor, which need to make the bulk of their yearly income in just a few short weeks, have a moral dilemma ahead.
So if, you know, I come in a month or so and I say, I really want some Norway maples, I want to fill my yard with them, what are you going to tell me or how are you going to handle it?
I think we've decided to kind of tell people and just make them aware, which we've always been pretty good at anyway. This is going to be your last chance to buy this particular plant because it is going on an invasive list. People may then say, oh, well, I didn't know that it was even invasive. You know, why and, you know, what can I learn about it? What are my alternatives?
Higgins says while the nursery will likely continue to offer some of the more popular soon-to-be-banned species this year, they're toying with the idea of having a plant-this-not-that display, encouraging people to choose native red maple over the Norway, or for fall foliage, blueberries and dwarf lilac instead of burning bush. Retailers have until December 31st to get rid of all remaining invasive plant stock. After that, the selling, distribution, or transport of the plants on the list, as well as the intentional propagation, becomes illegal. At the moment, the state is only planning to ban the sale and transport of the 33 listed plants. There's no mandate to dig up or destroy plants you possess at the end of the year, but they warn that could change in the future. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.
And if you're wondering, you can find the complete plant list on our website, mainepublic.org.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, March 30th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.